Pele leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young boy!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Hello, and welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, a Blue Wire podcast. And you might notice Justin Rowan is not here today. My name is Carter Rodriguez. I am one of the co-hosts of the Chase Down Podcast. And in Justin's place, a dear friend of mine, from my former professional days in Chicago, and the best damn gambler you'll ever meet, Nate Jacobson. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks a lot, Carter. You always kill the introductions. As always, I'm happy to be here. I think I mentioned this last year, but I always remember doing these podcasts. I believe it was at your apartment in East Lakeview when the Warriors and Cavs were going toe-to-toe in four NBA finals, and we were previewing everything and in terms of the NBA finals and all the fun props you can do there. And now this has become one of my favorite traditions right before the NBA season, talking win totals. Unfortunately, we weren't able to cash any of those win totals that we gave some good information on last year with the hiatus in the season. But hopefully this year we have some semblance of a regular season and can get to the finish line.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm very excited to do this podcast. This has become an annual tradition for us where we run through the best win totals. You know, you're my cousin Sal in a lot of ways.
But hey, that's an honor.
Happy to have you here, buddy. So I think the best place to start off this podcast is to talk about one of the best hits that anyone's going to have, because you were with me on the Isaac Okoro at 18-1 to be picked fifth overall.
I was. You told me a little bit of a hot tip early in the day, and I was looking through the draft props because I was kind of focused in on that day, trying to find some value. And they didn't really have much until the night of the draft. And I think FanDuel posted the fifth overall pick. And I just took a look because I knew that's where the Cavs were. And obviously when it's fifth overall pick, it could have also been a team that the Cavs traded out of the pick for. So it could have been like Obi Toppin to the Knicks or something. But it was basically which player will be drafted fifth. And I noticed Okoro was below, I think he was even below Anthony Edwards. He was definitely below Wiseman and Ball. And at that time, Edwards was pretty much the odds on favor to be the number one pick. So that was
another
pretty
hit
shocking
we had,
to
by
see.
The way.
Yeah, definitely. I think we bet that the night before at even odds, and it was like -350 when I woke up the next morning. So that all worked out very, very well.
You know, that's what's so funny to me is we were making such small potatoes bets on, like, we were putting like like 12 on LaMelo Ball to fall to 3.5 or worse or something like that.
Over 2.5, I think.
Over 2.5. So we hit that one. And then all of a sudden you hit me with this 18-1. And we're like, let's max bet this shit.
Yeah. So I put in like $60 or, well, I'm not going to say how much we put on. But
oh, I already said how much we put on. I said it on draft night.
I was I was trying to add more money on it, and they limited me to $1,000 to win. So I bet it, and then 2 hours later, I was able to bet some more of it again, fortunately. But I was surprised they didn't move that from 18-1. I think it stayed 18-1 the whole night, even though they got a max bet from one account. I thought that would maybe be enough to flag it. But I think that night, Obi Toppin was getting a lot of steam. Maybe Denny.
Denny was
really
there. Obi was there. Yeah.
Well,
you
I
know,
think there was a – there was an idea. I think the Knicks were going to make a trade into that fifth pick, and that kind of steamed it up. But one thing you learned about draft.
Well, plus, in fairness, One thing I will say, the other reason it steamed up is because the Cavs were throwing a lot of smoke. I mean, I think I saw like six pro OB columns come out in the lead up to the draft. So I think they were happy to smoke screen it too. You know, I mean, they were certainly wanting to, I think, drum up the interest to make the Knicks think that, you know, this was going to be the play, so they could, you know, force them to trade up. The Knicks saw right through it, I think, or, you know, I guess I don't want to give the Knicks that kind of credit, but you know, they saw something and it worked out where Okoro was there. The Cavs didn't have a trade down and we were able to make some very, very good profits on the deal.
Yeah. Just remember, you're going to have to be paying part of that tax form that I get when I have to apply for that. So it's, you know, it was an illegal bet in the United States of America, and that's all that matters. But the downside of that is you have to pay a little bit in taxes. So I'll send you an invoice around April 15th.
You know what? I cannot wait to pay those taxes, Ice. Though it was not exactly a legal bet for me. You know, I think we're just going to have, you know, the state of Ohio did what the state of Ohio doesn't know won't hurt them. And we're just going to kind of leave it at that, yeah, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, one thing you mentioned that the max bet wasn't going to affect lines. You know what freaking did affect lines? Worldwide WOB.
Yeah. Kind of got the cat out of the bag, I guess, where I think your listeners know, you talked about it on your podcast Monday, but that you've been blindly betting money line underdogs in NBA exhibition games or the preseason games around, I think your like buy price would be like plus 140 or better, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll dive in at plus 135 if I think it's, you know, if I think it's
if
a,
you like,
a
if
bad
you also
line.
Like the bet too, like if you think it's like a total coin flip, but I mean, you've done very well. And I've tailed you on a lot of those bets. Especially, I remember the Kings were plus 225 on Sunday night. I thought that was a great bet, especially since they lost the previous meeting against the Trailblazers the night before. I thought that they wouldn't want to go start the preseason off 0-2, and maybe the Trailblazers would hold some things back, and that was relatively easy. It's gotten to the point where I was following the box score of the Mavericks-Bucks the other night, and the Bucks were up 10 at halftime, and the Mavericks were the underdog. And I expected the Mavs to still win straight up and overcome a 10-point halftime deficit. That's how strong the trend has been. But right now, it looks like a lot of deflation in those prices. I think the biggest underdog on the board tonight is plus 140. So I think the books have adjusted knowing that these lines should be much tighter.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the entire, you know, the entire principle wasn't that you're going to win money every time, but that no one should ever be a significant favorite in these games because you got guys like Kelgen Blevins closing games for the Portland Blazers. And Kyle Guy. And, you know, it just feels like ultimately, you know, I'm hoping that this is just fluky. I'm hoping that this is nothing. I hope Worldwide WOB didn't ruin the game. Because I'm blaming Matt Moore directly for this because I shared my wisdom with him. WOB is a coworker with him at the Action Network, and I think my goose was cooked by HP Basketball. But yeah, well, either way.
We only have till Saturday to make those bets. So, I mean, it was a good run for 4 days, and now we have some regular season stuff to talk about, which I'm looking forward to.
I think I ended up like 12 units, so you know, in 4 days. So I'm not too unhappy there. But as you said, it is time to talk about what we're here for, which is win totals. And you know, you've already been doing the research here. I'm actually going to just take this full. Normally we have our cameras on. And there's so much research here that we're just taking it full screen, baby. Nate, kind of. I think our traditional model here is to kind of talk through a few we like and a few we don't. So let's start with the lines we like. Let's be positive first. What are your favorite overs here on the board?
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie. I don't really love a lot of overs in the NBA this season, and it's a lot of it is situational and just what's going on right now in the world. It's just hard for me to back a team to go over their win total with a possibility of games being canceled or schedules being moved around, which could cause many back-to-backs or something. Not really sure how that's going to work out. And if a star player tests positive for COVID-19, and you bet the over on that team, you're already at a disadvantage. So if you're really tying your money up for 5 months, you need a really strong edge, I think, to make that bet. So instead of betting win totals, I'm going to bet teams on a game-by-game basis who I like. I know we kind of did that last year with the Oklahoma City Thunder, where I ended up not getting involved on their win total, but bet them a lot against the spread as underdogs early in the year. And instead of waiting for a long time and then not ending up getting any money from that, I guess, because the NBA season didn't finish, so all win totals were no action, I was able to, you know, make money in October, November on a certain team. The team I circled this year is the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm a big Luka Doncic fan. I'm half Slovenian, so that's a big reason why I like the Mavericks. But actually, looking deeper into the statistics, and even though they're going to miss Kristaps Porzingis for the beginning of the season, they had the third best point differential in the Western Conference, and that includes the stats in the bubble. And in the bubble, they went 3-5 in Orlando. So, you know, they probably were at a negative point differential in the bubble, but it showed that they performed better than or our record wasn't as good as their point differential, which is something we like to look at year over year, just kind of a good indicator for next year. So I think the Mavericks have a great chance to make another leap this year in the third year of Luka Doncic. They were the 7th seed last year. I think they definitely can compete, maybe even with the LA teams for best record in the Western Conference. I probably will just end up betting it because I've kind of, the more I've read into it, I like it a lot more. But over 42.5 on the Dallas Mavericks is my favorite over of the NBA regular season.
So, you know what's funny about this? And I was just thinking about this looking at this board. How much dumb money is Vegas going to win this year from people who forget it's not 82 games?
Oh, yeah. I think that one of the things I wrote down is, before you're betting these NBA win totals, you have to know your house rules. We have up DraftKings, FanDuel, and PointsBet, which I'm in Illinois, and those are my three legal options, and three very good sports books that I'm glad are in the state I currently live in. It's been very useful this season, and they all have different lines. The thing you see with the DraftKings, though, is they are using win percentage instead of total wins. And I believe at DraftKings, for action, for that bet to count, it has to be over 60 games. But at FanDuel and PointsBet, a team must complete 70 games, or the outcome has to be determined before those 70 games for it to count. So really know what you're betting into. Know that it's 72 games, and there a lot of the sports books are asking for a minimum. I know one of the popular books in Vegas, I think, was at 68 as their minimum. So make sure you know what you're betting before you bet it. But you're absolutely right, Carter, that, you know, you see a Brooklyn Nets 45.5, and people are going to be like, oh, Kyrie, KD coming. It's an easy over, but it's only a 72 game season, which is massive when these lines are pretty tight, pretty sharp. And it usually comes down to the last week of the season. So know what you're betting into before you're actually placing a wager.
Yeah, and one thing I do like about this Mavs team is that they one thing that plays in their favor is that they were the best offense in league history last year in the regular season. And I do feel like offense is a little bit more easy to repeat. And they also went and chased some defensive upgrades. You know, while Seth Curry is an awesome role player for them and was great for them, you know, Josh Richardson, I think, fits alongside Luka a lot better. I think so many times with these shiftier guards, they just kind of had to say either A, you just get to cook us, or B, Dorian Finney-Smith, go just chase around somebody. And, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith is kind of a limited offensive player. I really liked them picking up Josh Richardson, and I like their draft picks too. Obviously rookies don't have a huge impact on win total, but I just think that roster makes a little more sense. Plus I believe Dwight Powell should be back, and he was Luka's best lob threat, and Luka's perhaps the best lob passer in the NBA right now. So I just really like that team. I think they make a lot of sense near the top, even though I do kind of anticipate them being a pretty popular bet with Luka at the helm. My favorite bet in the West right now is our old friends, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just think that team's going to be competitive. I know they lost everybody, but you look at the core of their roster, and they're still really quite solid players. to count on. I believe George Hill. Is George Hill still on that team? I'm literally just going to look it up live on the stream because I – okay, yeah, he's on the Thunder.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, you look at the Thunder. They've got Hill. They've got Horford. They've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They got Lu Dort. They still have NBA players, and just because they're tanking – and just because they traded for some bad contracts like Al Horford, who, yeah, like, yeah, Al Horford has one of the worst contracts in the league. You know, barring Presti just flipping him at midseason because he rehabs his value on a Thunder team where everyone seems to succeed. I don't know. I also don't think their incentive structure is actually to suck. I think people think they're tanking, but really I think they're picking up assets. And I think they've picked up so many assets that they actually aren't that worried about tanking. Like, they're going to have a lot of bites at the apple with, you know, 500 first-round picks in the next 3 years. And, yeah, that's just a team I like a lot. I think culturally it's a team that has not done a lot of significant losing on purpose since picking up Kevin Durant, you know, 400 years ago. And it's just a team that I really, really like. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, it worked last year, even though it didn't officially win. It was probably your best take. I think – that win total clinched when there was about 20 games left or something, maybe even more. I mean, it was an easy over on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I like what you're saying where they still have guys. It's not like a total like roster that's not very talented. Maybe one worry though would be that they do have a new coach and it's not Billy Donovan kind of.
I don't think Billy Donovan was the reason that team was.
I don't think it was like, the reason, but fine. I think last year he helped because he came from the college ranks. I think there was a lot of like maybe rah-rah team building elements to them and he was going to have them compete, but they did promote from within. So I'm sure it's an assistant who knew a lot about the team and
is affordable.
Yeah. And affordable, especially in these times. And as you said, like they look like they're going to tank, but they also have so much draft capital in the future where like, they're still going to want to, you know, show up and play well. And with the new lottery odds, it's not like just a, you know, obvious thing to finish last because it's a more of a, I guess, a structured or a flatter odds to get the first pick in the NBA draft. So no issues with that one, especially that they're, I believe, the lowest one on the board. It opened in Vegas on like the first Saturday of November before they traded Chris Paul and did some other moves at 32.5, and it's down to you can find a 21.5. So an 11-point adjustment, you can make the argument it's swayed too far and that the Thunder, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs because you can get as good as 25-1 to make the playoffs on the Thunder. But
that I will not. I will not jump on that train.
If you're asking them to win 21 games, especially – now that I think about it, it's going to be
21-41. Is that unlikely? Like I always say
21-51.
Oh yeah. 21-51. I can't do math. I don't want to talk about it.
It's going to be hard this year with math to try to like count these games up. But I think a lot of teams are going to maybe like phone it in against the Thunder. Like are the Lakers going to, maybe that's like the load management game for LeBron or Kawhi and Paul George when the Clippers go to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. I think that a lot of teams might rest players and use them as like the load management team, knowing that they are projected to be the worst team in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Again, I just think philosophically, I always look at these and I go, what do I expect them to be at? And does that, how likely do I think it is that they finish with 21 or less wins? And I don't think it's that likely. I think I have a very easy time seeing this team win 25 to 28 wins. I feel like this is one where after 2 weeks we go, this is a winner. This is one we've won on already, you know? It just takes one good run when everyone else is starting to pack it in to get to this total. It's not a hard one to get to. I don't think they're as bad as, you know, some of these bottom barrel cellar dwellers in the past. Again, 21-51 is hardly a high bar to clear, and I think that's one of my favorite overs. Can you give me one more over, perhaps? We haven't really touched the East yet, and do you have any in the East?
You know, I don't have an over in the East, but I do have a yes on the playoff prop that, I mean, I guess it could be an over, but at the odds, I prefer betting this team to make the playoffs.
Now, and what team is that?
It's going to be my Chicago Bulls.
At 3-1. Wow.
And a lot of the reasons why is going to actually be because of what I think of some other teams in the East, especially in kind of the middle class. I'm just going to say, like, we'll get into the reasoning, but I'm low on the Atlanta Hawks. I'm low on the Charlotte Hornets, who are kind of between the Bulls are kind of in between those teams to make the playoffs. But one reason I like the Bulls to make the playoffs at 3-1, it's really a price play, but they get a huge upgrade in coach from Jim Boylan to Billy Donovan.
Probably one of the biggest in a long time. I mean, he's perhaps the worst coach in the last 10 years in the NBA.
Yeah, and the team just never really believed in him, and from based on his
quotes, nor did he deserve it.
No, absolutely not. And I don't want to go too deep into it, but it was, you know, he was there, and now they have a better coach, a coach that took the Thunder to basically be the biggest overachievers last year, and now he takes a Bulls roster that's going to be starting, I believe, 4 lottery picks. So there's talent there. It was a team that blew a lot of fourth quarter leads last year. And I know in the NFL, a lot of people are looking at, teams that were playing close games that maybe lost and they're going to positively regress. I can see the same thing with the Bulls this year. Last year, their point differential was better than their record. Their expected win-loss after 65 games was 25-40. And then with the Hawks and Hornets thinking that they're going to be down, I think there's a lot of opportunities for the Bulls to emerge from that group. So I'd rather take the 3-1 on them to make the playoffs than their win total with the uncertainty that they might not play enough games to get to the threshold to be graded on the win total. And also with the playoff odds, with the play-in tournament, and this is kind of going back to knowing your house rules, all of them has the playoff odds, yes, no. It's settled on the final 8 teams in playoff for each conference.
I was about to ask that question.
Yeah. So it's after any possible play-in tournament has concluded. But I think that helps a team like the Bulls. Say they finish 9th and you have them at 3-1, or maybe even want to go crazy and think a team like the Pistons, Cavs, or Knicks can finish in the top 10 and get at least into the play-in tournament. Then there's opportunities to maybe hedge and maybe try to middle the bet if you are holding a ticket at plus money. So I like the Bulls at 3-1. I try to make it as a non-homer reason as possible, even though I'm from Chicago and root for the Bulls. But I think there's a lot there that they've just been held back for so many years under Jim Boylan that this team can definitely, I'm not going to say take the next step, but maybe just sneak in the 8th seed, because in the Eastern Conference, there's a clear top 6 if you kind of look at the yes-no playoff odds. And then after that, I think there's opportunity for a longer shot to sneak in as the 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah, I think that before we move into our negative Nelly talk here, I think the team that I'm most into is the Pacers. I think that they are artificially low, and I might like their, I don't know what you think about this, I might like their playoff number more than I like their win total number, but I feel like this is a team that has some negativity swirling around them because of the Victor Oladipo, potential exit looming. But when you look at that roster compared to every other East contender near the bottom of the East, the talent level is wildly disparate. I mean, Brogdon, Oladipo, Warren, Sabonis, Turner, Aaron Holiday, Justin Holiday. Like this team goes 7-8 deep with players that you can count on in a given game. I think they've got a couple young guys that Jeremy Lamb, I believe, is on this team. Actually, is he? No, he might be on the Hornet. Doesn't matter. Point is, this is a team that has a lot of depth. I think they don't have any A pluses, and they've got this kind of free agency thing looming with Oladipo. But I just think that's a team that never loses. They never want to lose. They never tank. Their organizational directive is always to win. So, like, why would we count on them not to when they were one of the toughest outs? I know people are bummed about. I mean, I was certainly disappointed with them firing Nate McMillan. I don't think he was missing some untapped potential, but they hired a good coach from a good organization. And I just think that that's the team that maybe narratively people are down on, but like there's not really much roster reason to believe that they shouldn't be good.
Yeah, no, I agree. The roster's still there. It's a new coach, but as an assistant coach from the Raptors, so a lot of pedigree, I'm sure he's going to want to make sure that he gets off on the right foot and his team plays hard. And I mean, this team was the 4 seed in the East last year playing the 5 seed Heat. And I know the Heat swept them, but there was definitely a few games they at least kept it close. And now the Heat are projected to win 6 more games than them. But that's an interesting point you made, Carter, with would you rather take over 39.5 or would you rather take minus 167 to make the playoffs and probably projecting into a 7 or an 8 seed?
Yeah, I mean, and that's – I think ultimately I think I just chased the win total here. Yeah. I think I'm eating just a little bit too much chalk at minus 167. Like, it's just not kind of fun for me at that point. Like, I have to risk.
Especially if they have to get into a playoff, like a play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Where they are the 7th seed, but they still have to win games. And in a situation like that, where we've never seen before, I'm not sure if the middle of the playoff pack is priced properly, which is why I kind of like a shot on the Bulls at plus money, or maybe, I don't know, in the Western Conference, some of those lesser teams like the Spurs or like the Timberwolves and Kings, I don't think I could make any positive bets on those teams this year. But I think in the Eastern Conference, it's a little bit more wide open in the middle class, especially since I think the Atlanta Hawks are incredibly overrated and we'll be looking to bet under on a team like that.
Well, Nate, we may be gambling on this NBA season, but there's one thing you shouldn't gamble on, and that's hiring decisions. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help, Nate. Let me tell you something about this ad read, Nate. It's a doozy. It's a long one. Saddle up. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching with candidates instantly delivers you with a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. I don't move that fast. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. are visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore's total visits. So it's clear that Indeed is... I lost my spot. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality fit candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. It was their best available offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And here's where I'd normally kick it to Justin. He ain't here. We're keeping rolling. Football is back in swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online's going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win this season. Hell, we're giving you a lot of good tips right now. From game spreads and totals to team player and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day or day. Head to Bet Online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Nate, I'm out of breath. Who do you not like? Who are we going under on? I'm going to go pass out.
Yeah, take a break. I'll be a while on this, but the Atlanta Hawks under 36.5. And it's kind of one of the reasons I'm higher on the Bulls compared to the market.
And they're at 34.5 on FanDuel.
34.5. But yeah, I found on PointsBet today under 36.5. I like the under on Atlanta.
Oh, under, yeah, I'm an idiot.
Yes, yeah, no worries. So this is a team, as you can see, they opened 31.5, which it could have been a low number. And then I think it got bet up because they acquired Danilo Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic. They had Rajon Rondo, Chris Dunn. On paper, all, you know, fine moves. The thing is, I usually like fading teams that had the best free agency haul, especially if it's like moves like that. Obviously, if it's like one of a max player or something, that totally changes everything. But the odds have adjusted to those additions. But the on-court product might take a while to integrate, especially in an incredibly short offseason. And looking back at the Hawks, I just don't really understand the love for them. Last year, they didn't make the bubble. They were 20-47.
They won, I believe, one more win than the Cavaliers.
They did, and they had the exact same point differential. They actually may have had a worse, by a tenth of a, or a hundredth of a point, worse point differentials than the Cavaliers last year, which means that the expected win-loss was 16 wins, and they played 67 games last year. So that's 16-51. And now we're asking them to be better than a 500 team. I don't see it. I think there's a lot of, a lot of Trae Young hype, which I understand, but I think it's a lot of the players that they added are going to make them a lot better. And it's kind of like in the NFL, we were worried about teams like a Cleveland Browns, which I'm sure your listeners are near and dear to, but there was a lot of worry early in the year, even though they had some pieces that their new coaching staff was going to take a while to get used to. And the players were going to take a while to get used to their schemes. And I think the players on the Hawks the players who are coming back haven't played together in a competitive game for 9 months. And now you're asking these new pieces to come in and that to gel right away. And I mean, I get why the Hawks are a popular team because of those moves, because of Trae Young, a team that could take the next leap. I mean, they're favored to make the playoffs on the yes/no playoff odds at all three of the sports books we have up.
I'll take my plus money on that.
It's all about price and expectation when it comes to win total. Sure, the Hawks might be fun. They might be a fun league pass team. They might be overs galore if you are looking to bet totals on them. But that isn't going to always translate to wins. I like the under 36.5 on the Atlanta Hawks. And because that line is keeps on going up, I think it's going to end up being my favorite preseason NBA win total or any sort of future that I'll have the most money on before the season starts next Tuesday.
I was about to say, I feel like this is both of our best bets. I hate this Hawks team. I think that, I get the argument. The argument is they were playing a lot of guys who weren't NBA players or were so young that they weren't ready to contribute. That replacing them with even though Danilo Gallinari and Bogdan Bogdanovic are not superstars by any shake of the imagination, Nora Rondo and Chris Dunn. The idea is you're replacing non-NBA players with at least, solid to good players with all those minutes. I get that, but I don't understand what this team is because they have so much positional redundancy. Rondo and Chris Dunn, sure. Trae Young plays 36 minutes a game and is one of the worst defensive players in the league. It's not like he's someone who you really can hide on wings because he just gets mashed no matter who he's playing. I think he's the worst defensive player in the league, perhaps the worst defensive player I've ever seen that gets significant minutes like this. I think he's even worse than Boston Celtics era Isaiah Thomas, who just got destroyed because of his size. At least Isaiah was feisty and tried. Trae doesn't even try on defense. And then so you bring in Dunn, who, while one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, and you know this, Nate, he is really at his best when he's hounding at point of attack on point guards. Are you really going to go put Trae Young on 6'7" wings? It just feels like a fool's errand to me. And then you look at their other big picture addition. So Bogdanovic makes sense, right? Bogdanovic, he's going to be taking Kevin Herter's minutes. I don't care about Kevin Herter. He's a nice player, but he's a kid. He doesn't need 30 minutes a game. Bogdanovic makes a lot of sense there. But he's also not the most interested defender, not the most elite talented defender. So it's going to be really hard to start those two together. And then you look at Gallinari, and Gallinari is really a four where John Collins pretty much has to play unless you want to be Swiss cheese on defense. They have a problem that a lot of bad teams have. The Cavs have this problem where they have too many players that they need to play, and a lot of them don't make sense together. And that's not even to mention, do they want to still be giving developmental minutes to Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter? I just don't know what Lloyd Pierce is supposed to do with this team. And I think even if they – and I think offensively, I'm very, very concerned with the direction Trae Young's game is going. Last year, he pretty much just played James Harden ball, and he's not good enough to do that, nor is he able to stand up on the defensive end to do that. And I really, if there's any upside to this, is that they added some ball handlers that will take the ball out of his hands a bit and force him to play like a like an adult. But ultimately, I just don't think this team makes very much sense. I don't see a path to being a top 25 defensive team. And their offense already got like, that's the nice thing about Trae Young. He gets role players good shots. You know, I thought their offense was fine, and it felt like they tripled down on that. And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I just go back to it. They were 20-47 last year. One more win than the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are priced at 22.5. And now we're asking this team to go 500. It doesn't make sense. And I think this is a great, just kind of the classic spot where you're fading a team who quote unquote won the offseason, and people are going to freak out in their first game when they put up like 125 points and hashtag league pass alert and let everyone know like this is a must watch team. But
and then we'll notice that they gave up 142.
Exactly. So yeah. So all the daily fantasy players are going to love them because they score a lot, give up a lot of points. But usually those teams, there's a reason why they're giving up a lot of points, and because they're not good defensively and they're not winning basketball games, especially because I feel like this year the top six in the East is very, very strong. I mean, you can definitely poke holes and some of those teams have flaws, but when they're going up against like a Milwaukee, a Brooklyn, Boston, Miami, Philly, Toronto,
they're just going to get shredded.
Yeah, I mean, those teams aren't going to take them. They're not going to take Atlanta lightly anymore because of their offseason moves, which is another thing. There's going to be a target on their back. It's not going to be too easy for Atlanta this season. They're going to be the hunted.
Yeah, that would have been my pick. Is there any other unders that have jumped out at you?
Yeah, so I have a few more. I want your thoughts on the two teams that made the NBA Finals. The Lakers at under 48.5 is the best number, and then the Heat at under 44.5 is the best number I found. And this is just kind of maybe a lazy, you know, 2-minute handicap, but it's the two teams that wrapped up their season on October 11th, and what a quick turnaround for both of them after playing a lot of games in the bubble starting in early August. And maybe the Lakers is a little bit too cute going under on them. But I do also think that they kind of did what they set out to do last year. They got the one seed in the West, which I know was important for LeBron after missing the playoffs in his first year in LA. So I could see a situation where maybe he doesn't play as many minutes and maybe as many games, gets a lot of rest, manages his body for another NBA title run. And then same thing with the Miami Heat. I know that they're more youthful and they have more bodies, but at 44.5, it seems like it's a bit high considering that if they lose to the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round, this team's probably in the high 30s, low 40s, maybe just a little bit above where the Indiana Pacers are, but closer to where like the Raptors are. And the Heat are another team that I could just see maybe some load management with Jimmy Butler, and you're asking a lot of Bam Adebayo with pressure of that big contract to kind of fill in and be that number two guy in Miami. And with the Nets being better, with the Sixers looking like they could be better, with some of the way they built their roster and transformed it, I think that Miami might be like the sixth seed in the East. And if they're the sixth seed in the East, I don't think they're going to win 45 games or more in a 72 game season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case, I think, ultimately, is they weren't that good in the regular season last year. They were a four seed, I think. And the rest of the East is better. I think the top of the East is better and the middle class of the East is better. You know, even though we don't love the Hawks, we don't love the Wizards, we don't love the
Bulls. But you like the Pacers. Or the Pacers.
Yeah, but like the fact of the matter is these teams are going to be a lot more competitive than they were last year because they're trying to win. And, you know, there aren't going to be as many gimmies where the Heat can try hard their way to victory on a given league night. So I like that a little bit more than I like the Lakers one. I'm not trying to project the whims of LeBron James anymore. I think it's too hard over the course of a full season. Normally you can sniff a lazy game coming, but I also love their offseason. I think Schroeder and Harrell are floor raisers in the regular season. And like, even when LeBron's kind of mailing it in, like, the core talent out there is enough to kind of keep them up. So I don't know. I don't love either of those. I think the one over that I didn't mention, and we do need to wrap soon because it's almost bath time. Got to go take care of the child. But But one over I'm surprised the number's so high, because I would love to bet this over, but the Wizards. I sense a Russell Westbrook redemption year coming.
Like, yeah, with Scott Brooks too.
Yeah, like, I just feel like this is a team that wasn't that far off from 500 with a pretty injury-plagued year and with no Brad Beal in the bubble. And, like, maybe there's a world in which they come in. Like, I think Westbrook is a floor raiser at this stage in his career. He's not a ceiling raiser, but it's hard for you to lose a ton of games with him. Beal's been doing it with nobody. I like their role players. I like I think Denny's a nice sleeper for them. I think Thomas Bryant and Bertans and Troy Brown, like, there are good players on this team. And yeah, that's one of my, that's probably my sneaky one. But if I had to put a best bet down, it's on the Hawks under. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I mean, looking at kind of the playoff odds in the Eastern Conference, and I do agree, Atlanta Hawks, definitely best bet. Going to look into betting that probably. Honestly, I might actually wait till the weekend to see if the number keeps going up, because I don't think there's much resistance in Hawks unders right now. I think the public loves this team. But liking the Pacers and Wizards is just another reason why you like the Hawks under, because when, like, Atlanta has to play those teams, it sounds like you're going to favor Indiana and Washington. And it sounds like the Hawks are kind of on the outside looking in as terms of the top eight in the Eastern Conference. So there's definitely some correlation where, like, one of the reasons I like the Hawks under, or the Bulls make the playoffs, is because I like the Hawks under. So I think that's a team that, even though there's a pretty wide gap in win total, that I wouldn't be shocked if the Bulls play the Hawks or are close in total wins to the Hawks. And I did look ahead to the week one, or not week one, the opening night or first game of the season win totals for all those teams. And I saw that the Bulls hosting the Hawks, Bulls +2, that'll certainly be a wager I make, just kind of as a fade of the Atlanta Hawks right away, and a little bit of love for the Chicago Bulls, even though I know they had a rough preseason opener against the Rockets last Friday night.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, thank you so much for joining.
Can I just share two more unders?
Hit me.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Charlotte Hornets under 26.5. I bet the Hornets last year under 23.5 in a full season. That wasn't going to win because they were at 23 before the regular season shut down last March. But looking deeper, they had a point differential average of -6.7, which comes out to an expected win loss of 17-48. Don't think LaMelo Ball is going to be good in his rookie year. And he got hurt today, but I don't think it's going to affect the season win total at all, which speaks, I think, highly of maybe the market doesn't think that Gordon Hayward is a huge piece. I guess he's only day-to-day, so he'll probably be ready for their first game of the season. But I like the Hornets under 26.5. I remember last year we talked about it on the podcast, and we thought it was going to be clearly, like, the worst team in the NBA. So I think now that they overachieved last year and they won more games than they were expected to, I think they will go under. And then a team that's kind of in the similar mold in the Hawks is, like, the team that won the offseason and have skyrocketed since their opener, that was at 34.5. The Phoenix Suns under 38.5. Not sure if I'm going to bet this, but going to take a hard look at it. If it wasn't for their success in the bubble going 8-0, I think this win total would definitely be in the low 30s. I guess maybe it'd be in the mid 30s with the Chris Paul acquisition that they made from the Oklahoma City Thunder, which was the real driver of this win total going up four games since the opener. But they were 8-0 in the bubble, but I thought there was a lot of deceiving success there because they played a lot of teams that were playing their backups because they already clinched, and the Suns kind of had no pressure, and they were the team that would go out there and play well and get a lot of hype, but they didn't have any expectations to sneak into the top eight. I think right now we're going to see a lot of teams giving their best effort against the Phoenix Suns, and they're not going to be taken lightly anymore. And I think asking them to now win 39 games in a 72 win season is a little bit high. I get that. I'm sure there's more to it. Devin Booker with Chris Paul, I can see that being a good fit, but I think the market is, if you're betting, let's say if you're betting the Suns to make the playoffs going over the win total, you're paying a premium. So I wouldn't mind being on the other side of that.
Absolutely. Well, Nate, I very much do need to go. I hear my daughter in the bathroom getting ready, and I'm probably gonna get a glare for
that's
running
more
heavy.
Important.
Yes,
that's
of course
more important
it is.
Than this stuff.
But gambling is obviously very important, as is my friendship with you. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Carter. Good luck this year, and excited for the NBA season and seeing what we got next week.
Thank you, buddy. Well, thank you guys for listening to the Chase Down podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe, unsubscribe, and resubscribe and cook those books, exploit that faulty Apple algorithm. And Cavs season starting in just 6 days on the 7 days, actually, on the 23rd. So Cavs basketball will be back soon. I can't wait for it. Let's get those bets in now. And as always,